Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 48 degrees and overcast. Today's Wednesday, June 27th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Higher electric rates in Sitka are one step closer to reality. At its regular meeting last night, the Sitka Assembly approved a new rate structure for the city-owned utility. The measure would take one more meeting to become official. Rates would go up for most customers, but not all. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, officials hope the changes will encourage residents to conserve energy.
There's a joke among those who monitor Sitka's hydropower dams. They say they operate in two seasons, fill and spill, and drain and pray. And for the last year, there have probably been a few appeals to a higher power to send more power. Sitka's lake levels were below normal, and the city spent more than $1 million to run diesel generators for extra electricity. But Utility Director Christopher Bruton says lately, their prayers seem to have been answered.
We're actually looking pretty good. The lakes are filling up quite nicely. We're above the rule curve in both lakes, so we are projecting spill this fall. So we're in pretty good shape.
Still, the money spent on diesel, plus the need to pay for a massive expansion of the Blue Lake Dam, got electric department officials thinking. Sitkins pay a relatively low rate for power, about 9 cents per kilowatt hour, compared to 12 or higher in other parts of the region. So officials wanted to bring in more revenue, but they also wanted to give people a reason to save energy. The new rates, they hope, will do both.
I was actually on the last assembly that actually raised rates significantly, and that was in 93.
Assemblymember Mike Reif.
And at that time, a gallon of oil was going for $1.10. And as we know today, it's going for $4.50. And we haven't raised our electrical rates 1 cent.
So there's a new structure on the way. Okay, here come some numbers. Residential customers who use lower amounts of electricity, say between 250 and 1,000 kilowatt hours, will see their rates go up about $2.50 a month. Those in the middle, between 1,500 and 2,000 kilowatt hours, could see a decrease anywhere from 82 cents to $4 per kilowatt hour. And heavy residential users, talking about people who consume 4,000 kilowatt hours or more, are going to see increases into the hundreds of dollars. Assemblymember Tor Christensen.
You know, right now, it's in the ratepayers, the electric users' hands. If they want to pay less, you'll use less. I think it's a pretty good plan for right now. We'll see next year but this year at least, it looks like a good plan.
Next year, those rates could change again. Bruton acknowledged the city is looking at long-term strategies to slowly raise rates. Nobody protested the new rates at Tuesday night's assembly meeting, but there were some questions. For example, as industrial users consume more energy, they're actually going to pay less per kilowatt hour. Bruton says industrial customers are less expensive to serve than residential customers, who are more numerous and spread across the entire community. That means more wires, more poles, more infrastructure to get power out to all the homes. Also, most of the increase in load on the system has come from residential customers, especially those who converted to electric heat when it appeared the city had power to spare. The city wants those customers in particular to watch their energy consumption. So the lakes are filling, they say, but come winter, Sitka could find itself hurting for power once more and burning diesel to make up the difference. For that reason, assembly members like Phyllis Hackett say that it's important for homeowners to conserve not only on a day-to-day basis, but to start looking right now for long-term fixes.
Almost every meeting since I've been on the assembly, we've been saying in one way or another, conserve your electric, conserve your electric. It's been over and over and over. And right now is a time to plug it again and say, take a look at the different state programs and what you can do to your homes to make them more efficient, because we have to do that. We can only produce so much.
The new rate structure would take one more meeting to become official. If approved, it would take effect September 1st. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Also moving forward at last night's meeting was a plan to increase motor vehicle registration fees. The plan would add $200 every 2 years for the average passenger vehicle on top of what residents already pay to register their cars. The fee would be $400 for commercial vehicles, $100 for non-commercial trailers, and $50 for motorcycles. The increases are an attempt to raise money for road repair work, which the city says is long overdue. It would take one more meeting to become official. If passed, the fees would take effect in 2014. They are estimated to raise about $900,000 a year. Assembly members voted 5-2 in favor of the plan. Mayor Cheryl Westover and Assemblymember Terry Blake voted no. Westover said the fees were too steep. She recommended the city return to a sticker system where residents must pay to have their cars inspected and receive a sticker for their windshield. Other assembly members said that program, which Sitka has tried before, would be too costly to administer. Also, last night, the assembly finalized a hike to the city's sales tax cap. Right now, Sitka requires sales tax only on the first $1,000 of any purchase, but after October 1st, that will go up to $1,500. The measure was originally to take effect on July 1st, but business owners and tour guides asked for it to be put off until after this year's visitor season. They said the original effective date would complicate reservations their clients had already made. The assembly said goodbye to Terry Blake last night, but delayed the appointment of a new member after a newspaper editorial pointed out a possible procedural error. Thad Polson, the editor and publisher of the Daily Sitka Sentinel, published an editorial Monday night citing the Sitka Charter, which states that a vacancy shall be filled by the assembly, which shall elect a qualified person within 20 days after the vacancy occurs. As originally scheduled by the municipal clerk's office, filling the vacancy created by Terry Blake's departure was to have occurred last night while Blake was still seated. Polson told KCAW that he confirmed with the clerk's office that Blake was indeed scheduled to vote on his own replacement. That's what prompted the editorial.
Just suddenly struck me that this is rather unusual, that you'll have the person who's leaving the assembly actually voting on his replacement. And as I noted, and I hope in the editorial, and I hope you took note of, I'm sure that it was simply an oversight, that no one intended to influence the outcome of any appointment by having the departing member vote. But nonetheless, it appeared to me that it wasn't proper, and so that's why I spoke up.
The clerk's office responded promptly. Municipal Clerk Colleen Ingman notified media yesterday that the vacancy will now be filled at the start of the next regular meeting on July 10th. The five candidates who have applied for the appointment will all receive packets on July 6th, so the lucky winner can get right down to business, if the lucky winner happens to be among the five who have applied. The assembly, as noted above, can appoint any qualified replacement. Reached for comment, Municipal Administrator Jim Dinley says the scheduling issue was a simple misinterpretation. After he heard from Polson, he consulted with Municipal Attorney Teresa Hillhouse, who's been on sick leave, and learned that the timeline for replacing Blake wasn't quite right. Dinley says there was no harm, no foul. Polson agrees he was not out to make anyone look bad.
I don't believe in gotcha journalism or such things as that, but I thought this is something that should not pass unnoticed.
Daily Sitka Sentinel editor Thad Polson. An author who holds a combined record for mountain climbing and surfing says he's found more meaning in teaching and family than in adventure. Francis Slakey is a professor of physics at Georgetown. His new book, To the Last Breath, describes the challenges of becoming the first person to summit the highest peak on every continent and to surf every ocean. But the story is also a memoir of how Slakey overcame his deep personal isolation and learned to make meaningful connections with the people in his life. To the Last Breath was published in May by Simon & Schuster. Slakey will speak in Sitka at Kettleson Library tonight at 7 p.m. I had a chance to talk with him about his story. He is the first to admit that the person who achieved his so-called surf and turf record was a self-absorbed loser.
You know, it really was kind of shallow to begin with. I just wanted to be the first at something, and I had these skill sets that I could paste together to do it, so why not give it a try? But, you know, over the course of the years of working on it, by the time it was done, the record didn't even matter. It was just everything that happened in between that made a difference.
To the Last Breath would not have been written without some kind of transformative experience on Slakey's part. He spent much of his youth trying to separate himself from people. Writing a book would have been about the last thing he would do.
Early in my life, I had thought that I didn't want any attachments whatsoever, and I even established some rules. You know, I would never get married, I would never have kids, I would never own a house, because all of those things make you a fixed point and make you attached. And over the course of the journey, all of that changed, but certainly what contributed to that point of view was the deaths that I experienced when I was young.
Slakey's mother died of cancer when he was 11 years old. He and his two older brothers were raised by their father. It was the male half of the Brady Bunch that never found its female counterpart. Later, as a teenager, Slakey allowed a friend to attempt a tricky mountain descent unaccompanied while he opted to ride down the mountain. The friend fell and subsequently died. These experiences pushed Slakey into a kind of emotional withdrawal. Even as he studied and later taught college physics and began work on his climbing record, typically pulling together logistical teams for major peaks like Mount Everest, he was indifferent to his teammates, isolated and alone. Ironically, his long journey back also started on Everest. When his party stopped at a monastery for a blessing, a lama gave him an amulet. Its message would haunt him.
He had etched onto the amulet some letters that were indecipherable, and I couldn't find anybody who could translate it. And initially, you know, the scientist in me just sort of tossed it aside, and literally, in fact, I got back home, I just threw it in a sock drawer and forgot all about it. But over the course of the journey, it becomes a bigger and bigger part of my life, and I become obsessed with trying to translate it. And I do eventually figure out what it means.
Disclosing what the amulet actually says would be a spoiler. Author Francis Slakey will give a presentation in Sitka at Kettleson Library tonight at 7 p.m. Slakey is in Sitka to visit his former freshman roommate from Georgetown, Eugene Solovyov, who owns a business here in town. Following his Alaska side trip, Slakey will give talks on The Last Breath at other venues in the Northwest, including the Microsoft campus. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for cloudy skies, scattered showers, highs around 56 with light winds. Tonight, cloudy, scattered showers, lows around 48. Tomorrow, rain likely, highs around 56, light winds becoming northwest to 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. This is KCAW, Sitka.